All right, we're grateful for our live audience. Let's give them a hand praise. All right, let's bow our heads this morning. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Appreciate you for all that you are and all that you mean. We honor you and we love you for who you are. God, we ask that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would give me faith and favor as I declare your word. God, speak through my mouth, think through my mind. Let it be all of you, less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, all right, come on, get your Bibles in your hands. All right. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught God's word. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on, put your hands together this morning. All right, I want to start off with the title today. The title is Lord, Deliver Me. Somebody say that. Say, Lord, deliver me. Now, we are at Deliverance Temple, and so therefore that means that those of us who come here and join here, we are in need of deliverance. But we have to ask the Lord to deliver us. I'm reminded of the song that is sung by Leandra Johnson that says, Lord, deliver me, because all I seem to do is hurt me. So sometimes we get in patterns and cycles where we hurt ourselves. Sometimes we're in patterns and cycles when it's not so much what we do, it's the assault and the attack of the enemy based on the call of God on our life. Sometimes we need deliverance from us. Sometimes we need deliverance from the devil. And sometimes we need deliverance from folk, people. Sometimes it ain't me, it ain't the devil, it's the folk in my life. It's my wife or my husband, it's my son or my daughter, it's my ex, it's the government. Many things try to trap us up and keep us from being the people that we want to be. And sometimes the easiest thing to do is cry out, Lord, deliver me. So before we progress, somebody just say it with me, say, Lord, deliver me. One more time, Lord, deliver me. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together for the deliverance. Come on, put your hands together for the deliverance. Put your hands together for the deliverance. I'm not just wasting time. I want you to praise God ahead of time for the deliverance. Amen. We confess our deliverance continually. We believe God's going to do it. All right. So, Lord, deliver me. Now, in order to do that, we're going to walk through 11 keys to deliverance from Psalms 18. 11 keys to deliverance from Psalms 18. So we're going to be in Psalms 18. And Pastor Andre, why would you choose 11? The reason why I chose 11, because today is October the 11th. So on the 11th day of October, I'm going to give you 11 keys to deliverance. So you need deliverance and you're crying for God to deliver you, but I'm going to give you some keys so that you can walk in deliverance. It's beautiful when you leave church with some strategy, not just emotion and not just shouting and dancing. And there's nothing wrong with shouting, dancing and praising, but give me something I can put in practicality. I need to practice and walk this thing out. Because the devil I face on Sunday is not the same devil I face on Monday. The devil on Monday is a little different. He's a little stronger. He sets up on my job. He sets up on my home. Sometimes when I leave the parking lot, he's waiting at me at the stop sign. So I need some practical steps on how I can walk this thing out. So 11 keys to deliverance from Psalms 18. Now, they have it up there for us. What we're going to do, this is the preface to Psalm 18, and I want to show us something. It says, to the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when, I'll stop right there, he addressed this, or he wrote this down on the song in a particular moment of his life. And here's the reason. On the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So David went through a whole bunch of junk in his life before he took the kingdom, and Saul was trying to kill him. He had other issues going on, but there came a time where Saul was dead. There came a time when the major enemy that was facing him was dead. And what David did, he wrote down a song to praise God, because there comes a day when the thing that is facing you shows up dead. It's not there. It was debt, but it was dead. It was depression, but now it's dead. It was divorce, but now it's dead. It was anxiety, but now it's dead. It was fear, but now it's dead. Because here's the thing, trouble has an expiration date. It can't stay forever. It will come. It will linger, but it can't stay forever. And the moment it goes, it's time to put pen to paper and say, God, I praise you for delivering me from all my enemies. Now, I don't know how many enemies you have right now, but let me guess that it's more than just one. If it was just one, we can handle it. But sometimes it's here, there, and everywhere. Sometimes I pray I can handle it if I have attack on one front. But you can't attack me in my marriage and in my kids and on my job and in the church and in my city and in my car and in the air conditioning and in the food all at the same time. It's hard when everything go wrong at the same time. But also there's a time where God delivers us from everything all at once. All at once. I'm looking for God to deliver us from everything we're facing all at once. Amen. Now, if you know the story of David, he had some success and some freedom, and then he got attacked again. So I'm not saying that once God delivers you from everything, that you won't face something again, but we need, or at least need some space of time where we have some relaxation from our battles. The Bible said that after Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted, and after he ran the devil off, that the Bible says the devil left him alone for a season. I'm looking for a season where the devil gotta leave me alone, where everything is working right all at the same time. And I believe that that can happen, and I believe you are moving toward that. And the keys that I'm going to give you is for you having a space of deliverance for an entire season. I don't know what that season will look like for you. It could be a month. It could be 2 years. It could be 3 years. But when you've been battling all your life, wouldn't it be good to have 5 years of just some freedom where stuff just goes right, and stuff comes on sale when you need it to come on sale, and stuff don't break down when you don't want it to break down? Why is it that stuff break down after you've already spent your money, after you've already spent the savings? That's when stuff want to break down. That ain't nothing but the devil. I need stuff to work when I need it to work. I need it to stay together when I need it to stay together. I'm so grateful for Mother Woods. Mother Woods would pray over a car and pray over gas and say, I need you to keep working until I get to the gas station. I need you to keep working until I get to the mechanic. I need my body to keep working until I get some insurance. I need some stuff to work in my favor. We've been through some hard times, but let's have a season of favor, a season of blessing, a season of absolute and total deliverance. And it's in the scripture, and it is available. So let's preach it as if we're getting ready to enter into that season. Because if anybody knows, 2020 has been a booger of a year. Not just for the entire globe, but individual. It's just been kind of funky. But one thing I know about, when you go through, you always come on the other side. I don't want to end 2020 raggedy. I don't want to go 2021 all beat up and don't have no joy. No, I want my joy. I want my peace. I want my expectation. I want my faith. In order for that to happen, this devil has to back up off of me for a season. Now, the reason why he can't back up off of me altogether is because I'm going to keep doing what's right. And as long as I keep doing what's right, he has to attack me because I'm messing up his kingdom. So he has to attack me, but I want to beat him up so well that he got to go ahead and gather himself before he come and attack me again. All right, so in order to do that, we're going to work through Psalms 18, and I'm going to bring up 11 points. But in these 11 points, I'm also going to bring up other scriptures that are not connected to Psalms 18 to paint the picture. So we're going to be grabbing our points from Psalms 18, but explaining those points from other verses. Somebody say, roll, Pastor, roll. All right, starting with Psalms 18 and 1, put it up there for me and read that, Mother Mitchell.
O Lord, my strength.
Read it again. I think you accidentally turned that off.
I love you, O Lord, my strength.
I love you, O Lord, my strength. So this brings us up to point number one, to walk in the season of deliverance. Number one, you must love God. Don't ask for deliverance and you don't even love God. Let's start with the basics. You must love God. Would you show that again for them to see it? Number one is what? You must love God. Now, every one of these points will start with you must. This is something that you must do. Loving God is a prerequisite, but that's the easiest thing to start with because we love God because he first loved us. He loved me so much, I can't help but love him. The fact that he woke me up this morning and started me on my way is a reason for me to give him the love that he deserves. We must love God. Somebody say, I must love God. Now, one scripture says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. So let's start with loving God. Let's not leave our first love. Let's get back in a situation and in the season when we are in love with God. So that is simple and that is easy. So we're going to go to the next verse, which is Romans 8 and 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
This scripture tells us all things work together. And people say that all things work together for my good. But it says to those who love God. Don't ask for God to work bad things and turn them around for your good if you don't love him. Learn to love the Lord. It's the easiest thing to do. It's the best place to start. He created you. He put breath in your body. He keeps you alive. He keeps you from danger seen and unseen. The car should have went off the road. You should have died in your sleep. You should have overdosed. You should be full of disease. But God has loved you, so love him back. Let's start with that. You must love God. So the love God and the called according to his purpose. Number two says what? Put it back up. You must let God be your strength. Don't turn to everything besides God. Now I know that you went to Planet Fitness and you was working on your fitness and you accidentally looked over at somebody that had a great figure and they looked like they got strength. Don't run from God to run to them. No, God must be your strength. Money can't be your strength. Casino can't be your strength. Alcohol can't be your strength. Drugs can't be your strength. Sex can't be your strength. You must let God be your strength. Now, everything that I just said is not wrong. Some of those things are wrong for you to do. Some of those things are not wrong. But here's the thing. Don't allow anything to be your strength. Let me give you just a quick example. Right now, I'm going to allow this podium to be my strength. Because this podium is going to be holding me up because I'm leaning on the podium. The problem is if you move the podium and all my strength is on the podium, what happens when you move the podium? I'm going to fall. If I put my strength in something that cannot sustain me, I will fail, I will falter, and I will fall. So God must be your strength. Let's go to Psalms 20 and 7.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Read that one more time.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses.
Some trust in jobs. Some trust in boyfriends. Some trust in Republicans. Some trust in Democrats. But we must trust in the name of the Lord our God. Next verse, Psalms 18 and 3.
I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies.
Verse 6.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears.
My cry to him reached his ears. That's going to lead us to number three. Point number three is this. You must call on God. First of all, you must love God. He must be your strength, but you must call on him. The problem is that we are on hush mouth. In other words, we go through so much stuff. Sometimes the thing we forget to do is call out to God. I call my friend and complain about what I'm going through. Nothing wrong having a friend that you can talk to and sometimes complain about. You're not super spiritual. Every now and then you're going to have some complaints. You need somebody to talk to. There's nothing wrong with talking to them, but why talk to them if you haven't called on God? There's nothing wrong with seeing what Miss Oprah has to say because she is successful. She's a billionaire. She's done great. But why run to Oprah if you haven't called on God? Let me come even further. It's nothing wrong coming to Pastor Andre because I do what I try to do. I try to be the best I can. But why run to Pastor Andre if you haven't called on God? You must call on the Lord. You must call on God. And I have to say, even in my own life, I sometimes forget to do that myself. I sometimes forget to call on the Lord because I done prayed. I done read, I done preach, but I didn't call on God. And what I mean by that, I mean, man, I think, my God, my head hurt. Jesus, my head hurt. Lord, I'm tired. Woo! They get on my nerves on my job. I done said all that, but not once have I said, God, will you help me? And sometimes while I'm doing all that talking, I hear the Holy Spirit say, have you talked to the Lord? Now, sometimes God is good enough to hear what we are saying, even though we're not saying it to him. But when you get in trouble and real trouble, you need to call on the Lord. You need to say, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Call on God. Are we going to go to Romans 10 and 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to go to Psalms 18 and 18.
They comforted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support.
All right, that's going to bring us to four. We're moving quickly. Number four, you must know God's got you. Who has you? So they're looking for support, but David said, you were my support. So who has me? God's got me. So we're going to put up Psalms 18 and 19.
He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me.
Read that one more time.
He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me.
Oh, I know I'm doing it. Can you read that one more time? It's something that's just jumping out to me.
He brought me out into a broad place.
That doesn't quite jump out to me because I didn't know exactly what it means by a broad place. But what that means is, I'll give you an example. If somebody is locked up and incarcerated, they're not in a broad place. Freedom is when you have a broad place. You have space to operate. One thing that finances do, it gives you financial freedom. When you are bound financially, you are not in a broad place because you can't do everything you want to do. When the TV comes on and they show you a steak, you can look at it, but you can't go buy it because your finances are at hamburger level. So you're not in a broad place. So when God brings you in a broad place, that means he brings you into a place of freedom. Jabez said it this way, Lord, enlarge my territory. So when you have space to move, that is good. But that's not what really jumped out to me. We're going to go back to the verse, Psalms 18 and 19.
He brought me out into a broad place.
I'm grateful for the revelation of that, but read this.
He rescued me.
He rescued me
because he delighted in me.
He didn't rescue me because I was in trouble. He didn't rescue me because I called on him. He didn't rescue me because I love him. He didn't rescue me because I had him as my strength. All those things are keys, but the scripture says he rescued me because he delighted in me. No, we have to paint the picture. I'm in bondage. Sometimes I'm in bondage because of what the devil done, and sometimes I'm in bondage because of what I have done. But what the scripture says is he rescued me because he delighted in me. So it means even when I was bound, he still delighted in me. Even when I was in trouble, he still delighted in me. Even when I was going through, he still delighted in me. I don't know how I can paint the picture to make it so crystal clear, but let me do it in a way that every mama will understand and every daddy that changed diapers will understand. Sometimes when you change that child, they have poop everywhere. I mean everywhere, not just in the diaper. They have it everywhere. But why do you wash them and clean them? Because you delight in them. The mess they're in cannot stop the delight that you have for them. Sometimes you'll even laugh about it later on and how they did it. I laugh at one of my sons because when I was changing them, they actually peed on me. And instead of getting mad, I got tickled because I delighted in those children. Now, nobody else can do that and make me happy. Only somebody that I love, only somebody that I delight in. And guess what? I done messed up on God. I done messed God over. I done had mess everywhere, but he rescued me because he delighted in me. He still loved me. He still is assigned to me. He still cared for me. He still died for me. Rescue me, not because I got degrees. Rescue me, not because I know scriptures. Rescue me, not because of all my ties. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And he delights in you. My God. So number five, let's put this up. This is something you must know. You must know God delights in you. Not based on what you have done, but just based on you. The fact that you're here, God delights in you. It's so much so that the angels asked a question to God and said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is little old man that makes you sit up off of your throne and look down and be concerned? Why are you concerned about Teresa? She looks normal. I'm an angel. I can walk through walls. I can fly. I can knock over trees. Teresa can't do none of that, but when Teresa is falling, you get up and look after Teresa. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the answer is this, because man was created in the image of God. Angels were created, but they were created in the image of God. When God sees us, he sees himself. And so even if we're messed up, he sees himself and he will take care of us. You got to know God delights in you. When you're up, he delights in you. When you're down, he delights in you. When you're failing, he delights in you. When you're succeeding, he delights in you. He delights in you because you are his own. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy 32 and 9.
For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
This says God's inheritance is his people. Now, when we think of inheritance, we think of wealth. God has gold streets in heaven. He's got pearly gates, but he doesn't consider that his inheritance. His inheritance is his people. Now we understand that we are dying every moment that we live.
And the majority of the dust in our home is from the dead skin cells that we have that are dying. We are dying all the time, but God says, that's my inheritance. I love them. Yes, I made them out of the dirt and they're returning back to the dirt, but I put something down inside of them. I breathe in them the breath of life and I gave them a living soul. And so I delight in them. Those are my inheritance. Those are my people. That's my peace right there. That was my peace. I'm crazy about my people. Let's look at verse 10, 32 and 10.
He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye.
My God, I'm the apple of his eye. I'm his choice desire. I don't know about you, and I don't know about you, and I don't know about you and you, but I know I'm the apple of his eye. And you ought to be able to say the same thing about me. I don't know about you, Pastor Andre, but I'm the apple of God's eye. I don't know, but when I wake up, God smiles when I wake up. I don't know about you, but when I get in my car, God is looking down, checking out for me because I'm the apple of his eye. And the reason why he rescues me is because he delights in me. He loves me. He's crazy about me. He's in love with me. He loved me so much he died for me. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's the apple of his eye. All right, let's go to Psalms 18 and 20.
The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me.
I'm going to have you read it one more time. He dealt with me how?
The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me.
Now this is David talking. Now, we know this didn't happen now. It happened later in his life. David committed adultery and murder. But here David is saying that the Lord took care of me because of my righteousness and the cleanness of my hands. It seems like he's saying that he's the one right, and that's why God did something for him. But David has a revelation. Let's look at number six. Point number six is this. You must know God declares you righteous. Put that back up for me just for a second. You must know God declares you righteous. The reason why he looks out for you and after you is because he already spoke over you that you are righteous. So he says you are right even when you're not doing right. He declared that you are right. How can I say this? All right, I'll give you a prime example. When a child enters in freshman year of high school, they give them a graduation year. And they'll say you are the class of blank blank. Now, they have not even passed ninth grade. They haven't passed 10th grade. They haven't passed 11th grade, and they haven't even entered into 12th grade, but they've already been given a graduation date. In other words, as long as you stay on this path, that God is going to get you where you need to be. And so what God does way before ninth grade, when you come out of your mama's womb, God declares they're righteous. Now you might make a whole bunch of mistakes, but what God understands, I've already set righteousness as your goal. All I need you to do is to find the path that I have for you. And if you get on the path and if you find the path, you're going to be righteous. So God declares you righteous ahead of time. How can I give you another example? Let's say this. Have you ever had somebody tell you, I'm going to cook you something. I'm going to make you a cake. I'm going to make you cake, Pastor Andre. And it's going to be the best cake you've ever eaten in your life. Now, they haven't even made the cake, and I haven't tasted the cake. But they're so confident in their baking skills that the moment they deliver it to me, they just know I'm going to like it. Now, sometimes they've been absolutely wrong, or they couldn't bake. But God, when he declares it, He knows just what he is talking about.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
He did, I call this scripture, which is one of my favorite, the great exchange. He exchanged our sin for his righteousness. And here's the reason why he declares us righteous, because he gave us his righteousness. It's no longer my righteousness. It is his righteousness. Pastor Mitchell, can you come here for just a second? Can you just come here for a second? This is my mask. And I'm going to give my mask to him. So the reason why I can say he's got my mask is because I gave it to him. So I can declare he has my mask because I gave it to him. And so when God gave you his righteousness, he declares you are right because he gave you his righteousness. Now, what I didn't show, and that you're good, thank you for that. What I didn't show and what I didn't prove to you is that God took my sin. And so the reason why he's not worried about my sin, because my sin is in his possession. Even if I do it now, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. And he knows how to fix it. He knows how to turn my sin into my blessing. He knows how to turn my sin into my lesson. It makes no difference what I do, what I don't do. If I stay with God, he can make it right. Now, sometimes he has to make it right through punishment. Sometimes he has to make it right through consequences. That don't mean you can just sin and you don't have consequences. You don't have punishment. But all the consequences and all the punishment is to keep you being right because he gave you his righteousness. Now, when my dad took this mask, if he took this mask and then he did like that, I can't say he has my mask. Because even though I gave it to him, he got rid of it. When God declares you righteous, stop getting rid of your righteousness. Stop throwing away your righteousness. Whatever you do, hold on to your righteousness. Hold on to your righteousness. Somebody say, hold on to your righteousness. So that means when you mess up, you got to say, I'm the righteousness of God. Well, why are you messing up if you're so right? Well, I'm in a process and God is working on me, but I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to stay here forever. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be stuck in this. How you see me now is not how I'm going to be later, because I am righteous and I'm going to act righteous and I'm going to live righteous. If I got to be like Sister Reva says, if I got to keep restarting and restarting, I'm going to get what God has for me. I don't care how many times I got to do it. I don't care how many times I got to get up. I don't care how many times I got to cry and repent, but I am righteous. God declared me righteous, and I'm going to hold on to my righteousness. All right, let's look at Psalms 18:21.
For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God.
This is one of the ways to hold on to your righteousness, is keep his ways and not wickedly depart. Remember, there's a difference between weakness and wickedness. Wickedness is you just not even trying. Weakness is you're just weak. But some people just wickedly depart from the Lord. I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. We'll do it your way. And listen, I don't trust my way enough to do it my way when God is the creator of the universe. If you want to play that way, but I'm not playing that way. God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did it, but I'm sorry. Some folks is, yeah, I did it and I'll do it again. And I dare you to say anything about me. And all they do is judge in the church. Well, wait a second. Some stuff need to be judged. The Bible talks about righteous judgment. If you come in here and you steal 7 purses out of the women and then you come back, I got to talk to you. Wait, why are you judging me? Because you a thief. That's why I'm judging you. And you need to pay back what you gave. Do I love you? Yes. But there's something called righteous judgment. And people don't understand that. They think, well, you judge me. Well, stop doing stupid stuff and I won't have to judge you. Some judgment is just simple as black and white. And there's other things where people are struggling. There are other times where people have stole things from the church and nobody knew it. And they come back a couple months later. Hey, I want to bring this back to you. What's that? I took this from the church. And ever since I've had it, God's been on me. I haven't been able to sleep. And I'm sorry. That's somebody who's not wicked. That's somebody's weak. How you know the difference between wickedness and weakness is conviction. If you no longer get convicted, you're wicked. If you're no longer convicted, you're wicked. But if you still get convicted, you're just weak. And God will work with your weakness, but he's not going to put up with your wickedness. That's simple for us to understand. Psalms 18:22. They're going to put that up for us.
For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me.
Here's the thing. God's rules are before me. What do you mean before me? I keep them before me. How do you do that? You're doing it right now. When you come to the house of God, you're expecting somebody to preach to you the word of God. And what you're doing, you're allowing the rules of God to be presented before you. Because you and I both know when we leave this place, sometimes we have trouble doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes we struggle. So I need the rules of God before me. I need somebody talking the word to me. I like TikTok. I like Instagram. I like Facebook. I like Netflix. I like Amazon Prime. I like going to the mall. I like going to the movies. I like going to the park. But one thing I learned about myself, if I do all that and I don't have God's rules before me, I'm a crazy mess. I need his rules before me. I need his word before me. I need somebody talking to my mind and talking in my ear. I need the word of God. I'm so grateful I have a pastor and an apostle and a bishop. I'm so grateful I got a pew mate I can call, because if I don't have somebody to go to keep God's rules and before me, I will be wicked. I'm weak now, but I'll be wicked. So I can't go everywhere. I can't drink everything. I can't smoke everything. I can't do everything. I can't sex everything and feel okay. Something doesn't feel right because I'm righteous. And when I'm righteous, everything just doesn't work. Now here's something that you got to learn not to do, not to keep overriding what you feel. Every time you go to the club, well, my pastor don't say I can't go. And so you go, but you don't feel right. So your other pastor, which is the real pastor, is the Holy Spirit. He's telling you to get out of there. So get out of there. And you can't blame it on me. But the pastor said, no. What I'm saying is I can't put my conviction on you. But what I am saying, God will convict you. And if you keep overriding his conviction, that makes you wicked. So stop being wicked unnecessarily. Well, how do I know the difference? When you don't feel right, leave. When it doesn't feel right, repent. When it feels wrong, back up. Go the opposite direction. It's not rocket science. If it feels wrong, it's probably wrong. If you got to call me and say, Pastor, is it wrong to? Is it a sin to? If you have to ask me that, it's probably wrong for you. So listen to the conviction of God. Now the person across the hall from you might be able to do something that you can't do. Now when we say that, we're not talking about blatant sin. Some things the word of God is just totally against. I can't say, well, the person next to me, he's okay to murder. No, murder is clearly out of the scripture. We're talking about those gray areas. In those gray areas, God leads us different, but you can't do everything somebody else does because you're not them. You are you. Amen. All right. So for all his rules were before me and his statutes I did not put away. So that leads me to number seven. Number seven, you must keep God's ways and not depart from him. It's pretty simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we're not saying that every one of the commandments are easy. Some are easier than others. When it talks about loving your enemies, that is not an easy thing to do. But trying to keep them will help keep you on the right path. You do not want to depart from God. You don't want to depart from your source. You don't want to get disconnected unnecessarily from your source. It's so, so simple. When you turn on the shower, water comes out because the water is connected to the source. Now, what if you say, I'm going to clean up, but I'm going to shut the water off and I'm going to get clean. And then get mad because you're not getting wet. You cut the source off. It's not that hard. And some of y'all mad at God. He ain't blessing me. He won't give me this. But you keep shutting the source off. You keep going away from his will and away from his ways. You keep departing from him. He loves you. He wants to deliver you. But stop shutting off the flow. Stop blocking the blessing. Some of us are like, we got to let go. We build up blocks. We block ourselves in, and then we wonder why we can't seem to get a blessing. I can't seem to pull myself out of depression. I'm going to talk about my brother Stephen. It was something that happened several years ago when the movie Ray came out. He was young, so he didn't know much about Ray, and he was inspired by the movie, and Stephen likes music. So he went and bought a whole bunch of Ray's music, but Ray sang the blues. After about 2-3 weeks of Ray's music, Steve was like, man, I'm so depressed. I don't know what's going on. And I think he talked to my Uncle Derek. My Uncle Derek said, what you been listening to? He said, I've been listening to a lot of Ray's music. And my Uncle Derek said, that's the blues. The reason why you got the blues is because you've been feeding yourself the blues. You have to understand what you eat is what you will become. Now I'm a person, one of my weaknesses is sweets. I love sweets, but I understand that I can take some sweets every now and then, but I can't have a dessert after every single meal and keep the figure that I have. I can't eat candy all day long and keep the teeth that I have. The reason why I have some struggles in my teeth and some struggles in my waistband is because when it was time to put away the sugar, I got a little bit extra. And guess what? If I want to change that, I got to take what I intake. I have to pay attention to what I intake because you are what you eat. And if you eat the blues and you eat cussing and you eat pornography, you can go to heaven. God can still deliver you, but you're going to suffer. You're going to damage some stuff. If you keep drinking, you're going to damage your liver. If you keep smoking, you're going to damage your lungs. Now, can you make it to heaven? Yes. I heard one preacher say it this way. Can you make it to heaven smoking? Yes. But you're going to smell like hell when you get there. You're going to smell like smoke, smell like Marlboro. So here's the thing. You have to learn how to adjust because you want to keep God's ways and you don't want to depart. Now your salvation is not so weak that every little thing is going to depart you from God. You cuss one time and now you're out of the kingdom. No, all of us will be out of the kingdom because a bunch of us done cuss. If God is greater and deeper than that, but what you have to understand is what is the root that is producing the fruit? Whatever I keep continually doing, there is a root cause. And if I can uproot the root cause, I can stop the fruit. And so here's the thing. If I want to stay with God, I've got to keep his ways. And in my own life, I could trace it back. Just a few ways where I adjust. One specific example for me was something I learned was called the root of bitterness. So to explain, my siblings and my parents would know this about me. You may not know it because of the anointing that I carry. Because some people say I have a swag and the anointing that I carry. But God has put me together. But I was the clumsy child. I was the one who would spill stuff. I was the one who was oddball and awkward. And because of that, I often got rejected. Not by my family. My family loved me. They would get on me and tell me I needed to do better. My mom would say, why are you so sloppy? I come out the house sloppy, wrinkled from, she said, you look rough, dry. She's like, where did you get that from? I mean, but I didn't care. Right? I was just trying to go to school. I didn't care. I had grass stains on. I don't know why I didn't care, but it was something about me. And then that carried on. And then by the time I did care, I had people that didn't accept me. Some of the girls that I liked, they liked my friend. They didn't like me. And so what that set up in me is a root of rejection where I got used to being rejected. And what I did, I became bitter. And because I became bitter, I became angry. And now every little thing when I got in my adult life would set me off because I became defensive because I was afraid you were rejecting me. So the person who took the brunt of it was early in my marriage was Devin. Because when I felt like Devin was disrespecting me, I felt like she was rejecting me. So I would yell and holler and scream at her. I didn't mean to yell and holler and scream at her, but I had a root in me that was damaged from my childhood. And until I dealt with that root, I couldn't get a hold of the anger. And so how do you get to that? It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of trying to find, God, why do I keep doing this? And God kept tracing me back. And I had to keep going back. And it had to do with my self-esteem. And God said, let me build your self-esteem. I want you to go to the mirror and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I have confidence that I cannot even explain. Now I have swag that I cannot even explain. Now when I put outfits together, even when I rush, somehow it works together. Because God dealt with the root. And if you can get to the bottom of the root, you can always change the fruit. But what I had to do is keep his ways and not depart. And in my adult life, did I get rejected? Yes. Have I heard more no's than yeses? Yes. But it don't make a difference how many no's. It's one yes that can change my life. I don't care who says no. I don't care who walks away from me. I know one word from God can turn it around. So every day I put myself together and get ready to do the will of God. When we were in the COVID shutdown and nobody was in the building, I dressed up and put cologne on. Couldn't nobody smell it but my boys, but it didn't make a difference. I'm doing it for God. I'm the best that I can be wherever I go, however I do it. I lift my head high because I'm not departing from the ways of God. I'm holding on. All right, let's move to Psalms 119 and 10.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Let me not wander from thy commandments. Let's 19:11.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against
thee. The reason why we keep this word and keep listening to it is so that we can hide it and store it in our heart so we will not sin against our God. Next verse, Psalms 18:27. We're moving to our next point.
For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down.
Mm-hmm. Number 8, you must remain humble before God. Now let me say this. This is why sometimes God allows us to go through things in our childhood and bring us back to it, to deliver us from it. But it's also to keep us humble, to know that if God didn't deliver me, I would still be the most awkward person in the room if God didn't step in and work on me. So what that does, that keeps me humble. So when you compliment me, I don't get the big head because I know who I really is. I know who I is without the help of God. I know how far I can go off the rails without the help of God. I know how I almost became an alcoholic in a short time. I know I have an addictive behavior. I don't dog out the crack addict, because if I smoked crack one time, I probably would have been addicted. I have an addictive behavior. If I like it, I want some more of it. So I stay humble because I'm only who I am by the grace of God. Because God declared me righteous. I ain't got no business being righteous. I'm too messed up to be righteous. My mental health is not good enough to be righteous, but because of the hand of God, because of the way God has loved me and washed me and cleaned me and talked to me and been with me. And when I was in my car driving 45 minutes away to my job, God comes in the car and talks to me and God. God been good to me. God has been on my side. So I stay humble because it's God that did it. Jesus, one of the greatest men to ever walk the earth. Actually, the greatest man to ever walk the earth. He said this. He said, don't call me good. There's only one good God. Jesus said, everything I do comes from my Father God. And if Jesus has to give God credit, why are you taking credit?
Well, you know, I did go to seminary and I was tops in my class. Thank God.
But if God doesn't touch your mind, you can't do anything. Do you understand many of us don't even understand the power of the brain. There's something called synapses in our head, in our brain, that they fire to communicate stuff. If the synapse does not fire, you can't get out the bed. If your brain doesn't communicate to your leg to move, your leg can't move. You can know 2 + 2 = 4, but if your brain doesn't tell you that, you won't be able to spit it out. That's why older people, when they have what they call Alzheimer's disease, they may know you and not know you because the brain will not let them know you. You better be grateful that the hand of God is on your life. Have you ever been under so much stress where you hardly couldn't think? I remember leaving my house on Ball Street and getting to the stop sign and almost there 5 minutes to think. Which way am I supposed to go? I could not, I knew I was going somewhere, but I was doing so much, I didn't know which way I was supposed to be going. I didn't know if I was supposed to turn left or right. Going right was going to take me south. Going left was going to take me east. And I couldn't remember what I was supposed to do, but I knew I was in a hurry. I needed to be there at 5, but I could not remember where I was going. And then God just dropped my, oh, you need to be going now. And it probably wasn't 5 minutes, but it felt like a long time. But that just woke me up. If God don't touch your mind, you will go absolutely crazy. Now, this is a little crass in some ways, but let me show you just how our body is. I was coming home from work when I still lived on Ball Street, and I was trying to get home, and I had to use the restroom. And it was no big deal. I really didn't have to use it bad. I was just trying to get home. And I got on my street and somehow I hit a bump and I lost control. And I'm like 36 years old and I don't know what happened, but something happened. I hit something and I don't know if it hit my spine. It triggered something and I had no control. And I can almost walk to my house, but there I am urinating on myself. And it made me think how many times I took it for granted that I could control myself. But you can get to an age or place in your life where you lose function. You better be humble and thank God for everything that happens in your life. The devil tried to make me fear about it. I just laughed and went and showered and changed. And told Devin about it. I was like, wow, something weird happened to me. It's never happened to me again. But it let me know that, listen, your bodies, you barely control your bodies. And you better be grateful that God is coming over you. So we stay humble before God. 1 Peter 5:6.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
All right, Psalms 18:30.
This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him.
Number 9, you must allow God to be your refuge.
Yes.
He must be the place that you turn to. And we're gonna look at Proverbs 18:10. So we're moving from point number 9.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe.
See, when the name of the Lord is your strong tower, you can run to it and be saved. You can run to it because you've done something wrong, but still run to the name of the Lord. You can run to it because the devil's on your tail and still run to the name of the Lord, but he has to be your refuge. And this is what I need you to understand. When you have any type of addiction, your brain tells you to run to the addiction to relieve the stress.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Run to it, whether you're addicted to sugar, whether you're addicted to pornography, whether you're addicted to alcohol, it rewires your brain because that's why they call drugs dope. It releases something called dopamine in the brain. And the dopamine is the pleasure center. And sex releases oxytocin in your brain, which is the pleasure center. So what it does, it'll try to trick you to run there to receive the pleasure. But you got to know that God is my refuge.
Yes.
And sometimes you got to buckle down and you got to remove everything that will trigger you to run to everything but God and hold on and say, if I got to fast it, if I got to avoid it, if I need an accountability partner, whatever I can, I've got to run to my refuge. My refuge is not cocaine. My refuge is not nicotine. My refuge is not the casino. My refuge is God.
That has to be the place that we run to. And the Bible says we will be safe. Psalms 18:36.
You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip.
You gave a wide place for my steps under me.
Now, when you go up a ladder, one thing that makes a ladder difficult is it's high, but the steps are small. The spaces on the steps of a ladder are small, so you have to be very careful with your feet. But on this stage, it's hard for me to fall because it's so wide. It's so big. Everywhere I go, it covers me. And God says he gives you a wide place for your feet. Let's read what Jude 1:24 says.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
He's able to do what? Keep you from falling.
All right, so that puts me at, let's go back to point number 10. You must know God can keep you from falling. All right, let's read Psalms 18:37.
I pursued my enemies and overtook them and did not turn back till they were consumed.
Next verse.
I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet.
We're closing to our last point, and we're just reading what David said and how he got through all of his enemies in that season of his life. Let's look at verse 39.
For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me.
Wow, you made those who rise against me sink under me. Don't worry about your haters, because your haters will come under you. You just keep rising. You made those who rose above me to sink under me. Here's the thing that you have to understand. If somebody is not supposed to be above you, they can't stay above you. You ain't got to pull them down. All you got to do is keep rising. God will keep lifting you up, keep elevating you. If you humble yourself, he'll elevate you. And the very person that laughed at you will come back and ask you to pray for them. You don't have to fight them. You don't have to talk about them. You don't have to be jealous of them. Just keep on rising. There's a song that says, still I rise.
Yes.
Against all the odds, I'm just going to keep on rising. If you put yeast in bread, it's going to rise.
Amen.
And if you put the right stuff in your life, you are going to rise. All right, let's go to the next verse. Verse 40.
You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me, I destroyed.
It said, you made my enemies turn their backs to me. In other words, they were chasing me, but then I was chasing them. So the very thing that runs at you, one scripture says it'll come at you one way, but it'll flee seven ways. It'll turn its back on you and you will be able to destroy it. There are some curses, generational curses that are in your family that you will absolutely be able to destroy, and the buck will stop with you.
I wish somebody would have gotten an amen on that. Maybe y'all comfortable in some of the generational curses, and maybe you want somebody else to do it, but you can be the one.
Yes.
Let's look at verse 43.
You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me.
People I didn't know now serve me. You delivered me from strife with folk. In this age of Republican and Democrat and election, it's a lot of strife.
Amen.
It's a whole lot of strife, but I ain't got to be mad at you. I'm not going to vote like you, but I don't have to be mad at you.
Amen.
Because if God wants to elevate me, I don't care who you vote for. I'm still going to be elevated.
Amen.
The wrong person can be in office and I'll still be elevated. The right person can be in office and I'll still be elevated. It doesn't make a difference because my life is not dictated by a Democrat or Republican party or an independent party, not any government in the land, because I'm part of the kingdom of God. It's not an elephant or a donkey. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah that lives on the inside of me.
All right, verse 47.
The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me.
Verse 48.
Who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence.
Lately, there's been a lot of violence in Muncie. but we are delivered from the men of violence. Not only do we have violence in our community, we just see where the militia group was trying to kidnap a governor. Yes. And they got seen out. People are violent. Let me put it to you that folk are crazy. But even though folk are crazy, do you know who has my back? Your crazy can't stop my God. You may have a gun and you may run up into school, but your bullet can't hit my child because your crazy can't stop my God. God will raise me above every crazy thing. He'll raise me above every straight bullet. He'll raise me above every rapist. He'll raise me above everything. Now, let me tell you this. It does behoove you to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right stuff. Don't go everywhere. Don't be everywhere. Be where God wants you to be, and nobody's crazy can overtake you.
All right, let's look at 49.
For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name.
I'm not going to be ashamed because you are delivering me and bringing deliverance and knocking stuff out of my way and taking obstacles. Sometimes we forget all that God has done previously. We want him to do some stuff in the future, but don't forget for what he's already done. For this reason, I will praise you. I don't need a praise team to praise you. I don't need a church service to praise you. You'll find me in the backyard lifting my hand up. Sometimes I'm around the leaves and the dog and I just feel like praising God. The other day in the lane where the car was stopped by the red light, I just did like this. And I looked up and maybe somebody looking at me, but I don't care. Ooh, I'm praising the Lord. Oh, because the chains that seem to bind me, they drop powerless behind me when I praise the Lord. And I got a reason to praise the Lord. The person in the car behind me may not have a reason, but I got a reason to praise the Lord. He's been good to me. I will praise you. Psalms 18 and 50.
Well, this great salvation he brings to his king. And show steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever.
Great salvation. Great rescue. Here's the thing about great rescue. It also means you was in great trouble. So don't worry about the great trouble, because the great trouble means there's a great rescue. There's a great salvation. And the greatest salvation is that you're clean and you're washed. And if you cross from this life to the next, you'll end up in heaven. You don't deserve heaven. You don't belong in heaven. You're too dirty. You're too messed up. You've had too much sin. But there was a great salvation. Early one Sunday morning, he got up out the ground with all power in his hand. And he had the keys of death in hell. Andre belongs in hell, but God locked me out of hell, and I'm not going to hell. I'm going where God wants me to be. It's a great salvation. It's a great deliverance. It's a great rescue.
And it says steadfast love to his anointed. Let's look at number 11. Point number 11. This is where we will be moving into our communion. You must know God has given his anointed ones the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. He has given us the victory. Let's give us two scriptures to go with that to help us understand. 2 Corinthians 2:14, King James Version.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ.
What word it says, which sometimes causes us?
Always.
Every now and then it causes us.
Always.
It causes us, but not in 2020.
Always.
No, always what?
Causes us to triumph in Christ.
Always causes us to triumph, which also means there may be always something for us to come over. Always something for us to overcome. You ever said there's something? It's always something. It's okay that it's always something, because you will always triumph in Christ. Not in your 401k, not in who you vote for, not in your denomination, but in Christ. Read.
And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place.
In every place. 2 Corinthians 2:14 in the English Standard Version.
But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession.
Let me stop right there. There's some people who don't have the Spirit of God that want the Lakers to win tonight. I don't think they have the Spirit of God, but that There are people who want the Lakers to win, and they might win. And if they do win, they're going to celebrate. But later on, there's a parade for the champions. And what it does, they go down and everybody celebrates them for the victory that they have. Yes, you have to go through a lot to be a champion. But if you become a champion, there is a procession where everybody knows you're a champion. And even the people like me that don't want them to win got to watch them go through their parade. And so here's the thing. God will lead you in a triumphant processional. And everybody who counted you out, God will watch you be blessed. And every demon and every devil in hell that laughed at you, that talked about you, that wasn't on your side, they got to watch you put your championship jersey on, your championship ring on. And when you hang the banner in the rafters, it says, I'm a champion forever. You can't take my championship because I'm always triumphant in Christ. Read the rest of that.
And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere.
And the fragrance of the knowledge of him goes everywhere. Because when I walk through, you look at me and say, you are too short, you too bald, and you too ugly to have this kind of success. It's got to be the fragrance of God on your life. It ain't me, baby. It ain't my education. It ain't my money. It's not even the church I pastor and the good-looking wife I have and the Cadillac I drive. No, it's the fragrance of the anointing of God. Because if you took my wife and you took my church and you took my Cadillac, I still got my God. He breathed in me the breath of life and he died for me. I am somebody in God. Lord, deliver me. And he's doing just that now. And to celebrate now, we're going to celebrate it by our communion. Now, if the Lakers win tonight, they're going to be popping champagne. But since we win and we're going to be popping the blood of Jesus and the cracker. We right now are celebrating our championship. Our championship in God.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Right, read.
In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The last verse.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
What you're doing, you're proclaiming his death, which means our victory. Can we take our victory lap in celebration as we take our wafer and our juice? And this communion, it helps with the healing of our bodies. Because he was wounded for our healing. He saved us from our sin sickness and even our body sicknesses. And that is our celebration. Now, can we give a celebratory praise to God? Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. Victorious in God. Praise his name. Amen. Shout like you won the championship. All right. Now let us pray. We're going to move right into our prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and praise you. We magnify you for all that you are doing and all that you mean. We thank you that, God, you are blessing us in every type of way. God, we give you praise and glory. God, we ask that you would touch everybody under the sound of my voice. I pray, does anybody that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they don't have all this washing and cleaning and all this stuff that I'm talking about, God, let them just call out to you, Lord, deliver me. Send your son that you send into the earth, send him into my heart to deliver me. And those people will be saved from this day forward. Regenerated, and God help them to get in a Bible believing church. And we believe Deliver Simple is a great Bible believing church, and take them from faith to faith and glory to glory in Jesus' name. And let everybody say,
Amen and amen. God bless you all.
Thank you.